gents. You know, we're a bit late. We're a bit late because of some IT issues. We just had our Man United resident telling the Champions League winner there to sort his shit out there. Silo, you want to tell him? You want to tell him?
Yeah, man. Hey, like didn't Thomas Tuchel distribute some budget there, man? What's happening, man? Come on.
You know, champions, it's new tech, my man. It's how it works.
But can you guys just do a favor? Can you just say happy birthday to my niece, Lesedi? She's turning 15 today. I had to cut the birthday celebration short because of the show, so please guys,
hey, say happy birthday. The city. Happy birthday, the city.
Happy, happy. Yeah. Happy.
Was it the city that did the reveal, Settle?
It was her who did the reveal for Belgium, yes.
It's a good thing you guys didn't give her my cupcake. She would have been so sad.
Hey, but Wonka, also, did you eat all the cupcakes at once?
Yeah, he did.
No, I had to bite them. One by one. Yo, I put four of them and it felt like I ate them all. Yo, they were heavy. But they were nice. Yo.
They were very tasty.
Silo, and you guys, I noticed...
Which team does Lesedi support?
She doesn't support any team except for teams that I support.
You're leading it down the wrong path.
So she's stuck with North Macedonia then.
Okay, I didn't get one that bad. Yo.
She supports Man United. So she supports Man United and Kaiser Chiefs.
I don't know about Jeff. That.
Look at this. Pum's already laughing. He's clearly been keeping up to date with the reveal online on the socials there. Shaka just belongs with Wonga. Wonga?
Yeah? Go like this. They belong together.
I smelt that coming, bro.
Right, guys, just to kick off the formalities before we continue for the rest of the show, if you haven't joined our Discord channel, do that. The link's in the channel. If you haven't joined our Super Brew channel or league that Sedlaw has created for the Goal Lounge team, please feel free to do that. The link again is in the bottom. And then also, what we're going to do throughout the course of the show is the guys are going to reveal the four teams they've been given for the tournament. If you like the teams that they have been given, throughout the social media of the course of the month, if you're supporting the team and you're supporting the guy, you just hashtag back Selor, back Nick, back Wonga, back whoever really, whoever you want to support throughout the course of the tournament, so they know that you've got their back. As you can see, you're probably going to have Portugal's back because, you know, Portugal's cool. Let's not lie about this.
Thank you. You've had your
because
day in
you
the sun.
Because you've got to check if this thing was rigged or what.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, let's talk about this.
Guys, that thing was rigged. I'm telling you guys. How can the Englishman Matt get England and the Portuguese guy Claudio get Portugal and then Nick, whose mom is Scottish, get Scotland? That is rigged.
We've got to talk to the admin person on how that was worked out. Talk to Renee's cupcakes, guys. She's the one who put the things in the cupcakes.
So I don't know about you guys, but Scotland for me had a little star next to the name. I don't know if you must check Italy there, France, Portugal.
Oh yes, Italy.
Okay.
Italy
yeah,
is for me.
We see you, Christy. We see you.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure Wonga had a star next to Switzerland.
Switzerland, yes.
Not.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm not going to lie. At some point, I'm going to have to put Wonga's full reveal on. It's the funniest 4 minutes of your life. I promise you, it'll be time really well spent of him eating his cupcakes and explaining every team and saying how he's been rigged and conned. But about that, guys, okay, let's kick on. Selo, tell us about the teams that you've been given through the cupcake reveal and pretty much where your thoughts are and how you think they're going to go about this tournament.
So, yeah, I've got North Macedonia, which was quite the first one I got, which was very disappointing. I was very sad, man. You know, initially, I only knew one player, but then I had to be reminded that actually I know two players. So the legendary Goran Pandev used to play for Inter Milan and other teams in Italy. He's their captain. And then Alioski, who's the left back for Leeds, number 10 for Leeds, who plays left back for Leeds. He's also their team. But yeah, man, I think, yeah, they just in the tournament to make up the numbers. It's great for them to have qualified firstly. That's great for them. And I'm just hoping that they can at least you know, score that first goal. I'm going to jump up for joy when they score that first goal, you know, have, you know, beer in my hand and just down a drink and celebrate and go mad with the Macedonians. And then the second team I have is Poland, which could be a dark horse to go further in the tournament. They've got Lewandowski as the captain and the talisman. And
yo, some players well. There. You got some players there.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so obviously Lewandowski, but Szczesny or Fabianski in goals. So they've got some household names in their team.
Which group is Poland in?
Well, let me just double check that actually. Also, you know, the Euros, guys. You know, the Euros, the way they're structured, because they do that whole thing of 24 teams and then 16 teams going to the last 16. So only 8 teams don't qualify, guys. So yeah. If your team, if you don't have 2 teams that make it to that next round, guys, I question your teams, guys. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm serious, guys. And Poland is the same group as Slovakia, Spain, and Sweden. It's quite a tricky group. You know, anyone can drop out from those four. Because what, it's 6 groups, and then all the winners from those 6 groups and the second place make it, and then the 4 best third place teams out of the 6 groups. So yeah, let's hope my team is one of the best third place teams. And then the team that I'm excited about having is Italy. Forza di Azzurri. I think they're going to have a great tournament. Verratti in the midfield, Barella, Jorginho, you know, defense, Bonucci, goalkeepers, Donnarumma, you know, they got Immobile, they got Insigne, man, they got quite a good team, they got some players.
Italy always seem to know what to do when it comes to like the tournament time,
tournaments.
Right?
They always switch on. That's old Italy, though. Exactly. Well, so that's old Italy. I don't know if new Italy, maybe with Mancini there, you know something.
Yeah, well, yeah. They've been much better. They topped their group in qualifying. They've been doing much better since he's taken on. I'm just disappointed that Moise Kean didn't make the squad. He had done more for PSG. I think he would have been a great addition to the squad. But hey, man, it's a good team nonetheless. And then another team that I have is the Red Devils, the number one ranked team in the world. Belgium, Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku. The most prolific international striker right now.
You can have him at Man United.
Thibaut Courtois is the goalkeeper. I think, I think my chances definitely of my 4 teams making the last 16. I've got 3 teams. I'm very confident they will make the last 16. My 3 teams will definitely. Three out of four, definitely.
That's pretty confident. Guys, before we move on, I just want to give a shout-out to Arjun again, saying, Arjun, you know, welcome to Manchester, Tevez-style poster. And are you guys ready? 3, 2, 1. You know he's saying.
Stop it. We got
Pums backing Belgium. And so I guess he's going to have a bit of a back settle. He's in your corner there.
That's on Pums.
Cleared foot. Oh, Portugal fan. Oh, lo, lo.
Yeah, there he goes. He says, everyone see
Is De Bruyne cleared fit and ready to feature for Belgium in this tournament?
No, in the tournament, yeah, but maybe not the first game. But hey, man, listen, they've got Yuri Tillemans in the midfield as well.
Yeah.
They've got Axel Witsel. They've got some quality guys. So, you know,
Dries Mertens. There's depth in the squad.
Eden Hazard will try and be proving a point. He's the captain of the team, so he'll be trying to prove a point that, hey, man, he's actually got something to still offer. So, yeah, let's see what happens, man.
Okay. Right, Nick,
let's hear what do you have for us, man?
So, I think I got the short straw with this whole England, Scotland, Portugal trifecta.
But
an English father. I've got an English father and a Scottish mother.
and then you give Scotland.
No, and then we get Matt, whose second team, because of his wife, would be Portugal. But our host has to have Portugal. So I ended up getting Scotland. But I'm actually stoked. I think from my point of view, you know, their first major tournament since 1998. And the country is very excited. I've got family back home. They can't wait. And I think they might be a little bit of a dark horse. Qualified through the Nations League. And they always pose a tough sort of challenge for the teams they play. I don't think it's going to be a walkover against England because it's going to be a big sort of, you know, local derby, if you want to call it that. And then they've got Czech Republic, which is another team that I have in their group. And they actually beat the Czech Republic last year already, 2-1. So I think three of the teams that I have all played each other in the group, in the same group. I don't have England, but England had played against Czech Republic last year, beat them 5-0 and actually lost to the Czech Republic 2-1, the year before that in the qualification. So Czech Republic and Scotland might be there just to spoil the party. So I'm quite looking forward to the likes of, for Scotland, McGinn, Robertson, Che Adams, to see what they can possibly do. I haven't forgotten about him, but he's not gonna, I don't think he's gonna be the instrumental man. Come on, Silo. It has to be McGinn. It has to be McGinn and Robertson. I think the standouts for Czech Republic would definitely be Suchek. I need to do a bit more work on them and try and figure out, you know, where their strengths are. They got caned by England in the qualifications 5-0 and they beat England 2-1. So it's probably a matter of being inconsistent. But my other two teams, a little bit of a wild card in Denmark, the likes of Schmeichel and Christian Eriksen. And then the one that's probably the strongest would be your Germany, you know, your Chris, you've got Gundogan, you've got Müller, Havertz. I'm looking forward to them. I can't wait to see, Gnabry do his, little celebration there. you know, adding the spice. I'm quietly optimistic. But yeah,
I'd be very optimistic.
I am supporting England as well.
In the back.
Yeah, in the back.
I'd be very optimistic if I had a Germany featuring in my pick, man. You know, like, it's always kind of guaranteed that they'd get to a semi-final or final of any major type of tournament.
But they're going through a weird like transitional phase. Yeah. We know it's Yuki Lo's last tournament as the manager, so maybe that's something to go by where he's going to go guns blazing and hopefully they're going to play it for him. I don't think that's going to happen. Knowing you've got Timo Werner up front there, the Chelsea boy. I don't know. Do you think you'll find his form this tournament, guys?
I just... You know, if I just look at their last fixture and their lineup, you know, just the sort of players they have, you've got Chris, Kimmich, Gundogan, Gosens, Havertz, Müller, Gnabry. I haven't even spoken about Rudiger and Hummels in the back.
And even Leroy Sané.
They've got Leroy Sané. I haven't even mentioned Werner, but Werner will probably... He'll probably miss his bus to get to the first game. so in terms of their actual quality, I know they played Latvia, but they absolutely caned Latvia 7-1 in their last friendly. So it will be interesting. I would say, you know, I personally think France is probably the favourites, but you know, the Euros always you have this way of just there's a dark horse, an underdog that comes through and sort of does the business. So yeah, it will be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right. Mosa, you want to share your thoughts here?
So, yeah, man, I think the dark horse is...
Oh, wait, sorry, Mosa, to interrupt you there, Mosa. I just want to say shout out to Kevin for joining us. It's been a long time.
Yeah, shout out Kevin. I thought Kevin would have come immediately after the Champions League final, but he must have been hungover.
Oh, so hungover, not taking his time.
Nothing wrong. We can still celebrate, Chief. If you want to celebrate right now, we can celebrate the whole summer.
so, yeah, right, Russell, sorry, as you were.
My four are pretty exciting. It's a mixed bag from my side, where I feel like there are two dark horses in my pickings. So far, Ukraine is definitely the darkest of the horses in my view, but they do have an opportunity to come out of that group, given they're with Austria, Netherlands, and your team there, Silo, North Macedonia. I think players like Zinchenko and they set up might be able to give them a good chance, because all you really need is like one result to then have a good chance to actually qualify as a top three teams. So I think, yeah, we should be able to get out of that. I've got Wales second, they need to impress me. Honestly, that front three of Wilson, Bale and James, it doesn't create any confidence in me. Maybe because some Man United players are there, but hopefully they can put it together. There'll be a lot of pace and a lot of energy from the likes of Bale.
James is fire for his country, bro. He's got pace to burn.
Well, I need to see that pace burn, Chief. I need to see something from him. So, yeah, man, they're in a tough group with Turkey, Switzerland, and Italy. So I think, yeah, they're really going to have to impress to get out of that group, because it'll have to be between them and Switzerland to compete to get out of there, if you ask me. But, yeah, hopefully they can pull it through. Then I've got my team, Croatia. Team that's gone through a bit of a change. You know, there's the old guard is kind of moving out, although players like Modric and Perisic are still there. You've seen a lot of Mandzukic and Rakitic actually moving out of the picture. And yeah, man, how it comes together, it's all exciting. But they've also shown in previous Euros and in World Cups that, you know, when it comes to a tournament, I feel like they know how to manage themselves and manage their emotions and manage their camp pretty well. So I'm very, very excited for what they can prove. They're in a tough group, but I think they will be able to get the better of Scotland and Czech Republic. Their first game is against England, which might be a little bit more challenging, given England's
squad selection. Croatia actually go to Hampden Park. Hampden Park is a tough place to go to in Glasgow. Think about Rangers and Celtic fans there. There's going to be no Croatian fans there.
But how do you guys feel about that, guys? That certain teams have home advantage, certain teams don't have home advantage. So it's not like you're going to, what's the capital of Croatia again? Zagreb. You're not going to Zagreb, you know what I mean? That's unfair, guys.
Yeah, but they all knew, agreeing to it. They all voted for this tournament. All the associations voted for it.
No, so. I'm sure the sport nations were like, hey guys, can we also host? They're like, hey, for sake.
This is Scotland. You're gonna get knocked out in the first round.
Hey, bro. Come on, man.
Will it be full, or will it be like limited to 20%, 30% of capacity?
I saw they're gonna have 22,000. I think just short of what Wembley are gonna have. I don't know what that is. 20%, 25%.
Okay.
Yeah. Not too much.
Okay.
But it's better than nothing. Not too much.
Yeah, true, and it'll be like a real experience for all the players as well to go play there. Maybe some of them, it'll be their first time actually playing in that pitch. So that's quite good. It's a very different team to the team that we saw go to the World Cup final in terms of makeup and structure. But I think some of the players that do play in that squad, you know, some of them have won the Champions League quite a few times. Kovacic is there, Modric is there. There are players that have pedigree of winning some type of silverware. So I think they'll be able to pull it out, the rabbit out the hat, and get through to potentially quarterfinals and semifinals, or even the whole way to compete in the final, you know. So I'm very excited about that. And then my last one. If Croatia make it to the final, they're going to make it to the final against my last one, against these lads behind me. Ha ha!
Guys, I'm sorry. Did Wilson luck out on this draw? Did he luck out? Is he the one with the best
those
draw?
Guys, but those guys are fighting, apparently. Those two players are fighting.
Yeah, these two specifically. For real. But
They're fighting. Apparently. They said, Giroud was saying that apparently certain players don't pass to him. He was actually referring to Mbappe. And then Mbappe actually wanted to have a press conference to clarify and say that this is a lie, whatever. But if you look at the game that they had two nights ago,
The numbers don't lie.
Mbappe didn't celebrate with Giroud.
Yeah, and the numbers don't lie. Like Mbappe hasn't passed Giroud a lot of games. I think it's been like 9 passes in about 360 minutes. That's 6 games or like 5 games. Whereas
I think Mbappe is just worried about his move to Newcastle. Right now,
134 million, boy.
Nick, he's been the manager. It's a load of nonsense. Don't worry about that.
Did you guys greet Nico then, man? And just hey, Nico, thanks for housing me in your home today. Since I have load shedding at my place, man, my chicken. Thanks, bro. If without you, I wouldn't be on the show tonight.
Yeah, shout out, Nico. I think
Chelsea fans
given...
always housing the Man United fans, Chief. We always keep you guys nice and safe and warm, dog. Even when you need a shoulder to cry on. When you need a shoulder to cry on, you can come to us, champ. So, yeah, I'm very excited. France, I think, have a very, very strong chance. I think, you know what's crazy with France? They always seem to have these type of niggles in the change room before a major tournament. I remember when we last saw Benzema playing. Yeah, exactly. Like we saw a couple of players bow out during the camp and that kind of stifles them quite a bit in their tournaments. But yeah, hopefully this doesn't disrupt the team too much. And yeah, man, I understand where Giroud's coming from. You know, like, Mbappe's won the World Cup with Giroud right next to him. He's won quite a few things with Giroud doing his job for the team. To have a Benzema coming into the fold now, yes, his form is hot, but, you know, there is some level of respect that you should give to a player that's assisted you in winning major tournaments before. And I feel like for Mbappe to have taken that comment personally when there are 9 other players around those two guys is maybe not professional and maybe a little bit too much. He's been given too many soft hands and gestures at PSG where now it's big. It's a national team and players will speak their heart and players will be very, very frank and honest without managing people's egos. And potentially that's what we're seeing from the French team.
I think he's immature, man. I think Mbappe needs to stop hanging out with Neymar so much, man.
Yeah. I think so. I think that guy's telling him. Must be done. You must leave PSG tomorrow and come to Liverpool, and I'll be happy. Then we can move on with our lives.
Do you guys have the menu?
Sorry, what is that?
Do you guys have the menu?
Do we have the money? Man, we'll call LeBron James, makes a plan, calls the guy and say, hey, you know what, Mbappe, you can have your own brand with Nike. We can call it the Mbappe Lightning or something. I don't know. Whatever. No, that's what we'll do. Wonga, you've been super quiet. You've been so quiet, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my internet sorted here and this load shedding is not helping. I don't even have a data connection because of this load shedding. Yeah, my teams, like you guys, I can't believe I got these teams, but anyways, Russia, that was the first one, that you got in there. No, Russia's not a bad team.
That's a good team.
Yeah, it's just for me.
I watched their friendly the other day against, was it Belarus or Bulgaria or something? Yeah, they were quite decent, man.
Yeah, I'll check for you now if this internet doesn't
And don't they have a home game? They have home games in Moscow, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Nice.
I don't think it's in Moscow, in St. Petersburg.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
That's nice.
They played Bulgaria. That's the 1-1 against Bulgaria.
Yeah, I watched that game.
Yeah, but I mean, they even played a friendly and they drew 1-1 with Poland as well. Poland is a strong team, in my opinion. But again, Russia was a surprise in the previous tournament as well. I think they managed to get to the final 8. But then they got out. And then I think the coach was also, how do you pronounce his name? Is it Stanislav Chesov, the manager? He's managing them again in this.
Next time you must have a shot of vodka before you say his name, Chief.
But Russia did pretty well in the qualifiers. I think they cleaned out Scotland. Who else did they beat? Got a chat of Scotland, they took out, okay, Kazakhstan, Cyprus, San Marino doesn't really count. But yeah, I mean, they ended up, I think it was 9 points clear of, Scotland in their qualifier. So I think they had a good run. But I mean, the tournament was again meant to be held, last year. And I think, you know, most teams were, I mean, a team like Russia coming with that form would have probably done well, but now it's a year later now. So we can only see where that will, end up. And I think for them, in their group, they do have a chance of going through. I think they are capable of doing it. I think the manager has the experience. From what I read, I think what they're more worried, what people see is the problem with Russia will be is their defense. They say the inexperience. Yeah, I think
they've got a 50-year-old. They've got a 50-year-old left back who's still playing. Man, Yuri Zemkov was playing for Chelsea when Roman Abramovich took over Chelsea.
He's still playing.
He's still playing, bro. That guy's like so old. I think he's like 40 something years old. No way, man.
Yeah, so I didn't say anything about him, but they were more referring to the fact that they wouldn't have someone like Akinfeev in there. I don't think the player you mentioned will be a starting player, but he will be going with them. But Akinfeev won't be there. He was always with Russia, but I don't think he took them to the last eight and then, yeah, he gets pummeled there. But they will cause difficulties, that's for sure. That I know, because the manager has the experience. And then you go to a team what was the next team
I
caught?
With Russia, though, the previous tournament, they did very well because they were in front of their home fans for the
exactly.
entire tournament.
True. Yes.
Yeah. And they're playing at home again, so...
Yeah.
Mm.
There's something
Let's
there.
See how it pans out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think they don't concede like I mean there was a match I think against Turkish and they conceded five, but it's not often that happens. But it looks like looking at the results, I mean, with all these friends, it looks like they are sort of, I mean, it's not like they're leaking savagely at the back. I think they can still cause an up, not up, but they can still hold their own. Let me say that. But a team like Belgium cleaned them twice, so I think they'll clean them again. That's for sure. The next team I got was...
Look at the context here. You've got, in that group, you've got Belgium, Denmark, Finland, and Russia. Mm. So out of those four, I mean, I suppose we'll get to that. I suppose we'll get into the nitty-gritty. You keep going as you were with regards to your teams. Your next one.
Okay, I got the next one was... Yeah, he'll do second last. The next one was... the next one was Slovakia. Slovakia, that's my next one I want to pick out. Gee whiz. yeah, this was like a bit of research for me looking at these teams in this.
You've got the Dubravka there in goals.
No, does he start?
He does.
Does Martin he start?
Yeah.
No, man. Come on. Someone else starts, man.
For Slovakia?
Yeah, man,
Slovakia. Look,
where's
I know they've still got.
Where's Jan Oblak from? Is it Slovenia?
Guys, I think Dubravka starts for Slovakia.
He's not Slovakia.
Where's Jan Oblak is from? Oh, he's from Slovenia. Okay, not Slovakia. Okay.
Yeah, he's Slovenia. He's not Slovakia.
Just relax, bro.
He's not in this team.
Dubravka is better than De Gea. Just so you know.
La la.
But again, this team, not much I know about them, but they did play a friendly against Austria. They drew 0-0. You're looking at their record. Who kept the clean sheet? You're looking at it was. It was Dubravka. He was there. Yeah. it was Dubravka keeping the clean sheet. but dude, a player I read like a player. I think Hamšík was supposed to be also, but he's not here. I don't know what people are saying. What I read was Hamšík was there, but he's not.
Did they not pick him?
He was not in the squad. They said he was picked, but in the last friendly he played, he wasn't there. It was Hamšík and Skrtel. They said that were in the squad still. But again,
he must be in a wheelchair by now. Surely.
Yo, bro.
Oh, yes.
That's what they said.
They got Skriniar from Inter Milan at least.
Yeah, that's Yeah, that's true. And but look, if I look at the team and I'm looking at their record as well, I don't think they're going to cause much of an upset. From what I read as well, they're also struggling with the defense. They believe that Fatik and all that, but I mean, you know, defense-wise, you're going to need you need experience in your defense if you want to do well in a tournament. And I think they're going to lose. I mean, they've got Poland, Spain, Sweden, and Slovakia. And I think if I'm looking at the Spain and Poland differently, like maybe Spain has got problems of their own, but they should be able to go through. And Spain and Poland should be able to go through on that one. I don't think Slovakia will cause much of a problem.
You know
for
what?
Them.
You're also forgetting Sweden in that group. I don't understand why you're just overlooking the lads there.
I love Sweden.
That's what I've said. I didn't say Sweden.
Spain.
I think, yeah. I mean, look, Sweden, they're a decent team, okay? Yeah, let's say Sweden and Poland next to each other, but Slovakia, I don't think, go on par with anyone there. So I think they will have themselves a tough tournament this coming week. My next team, my favorite, Switzerland.
Sounds like another Arsenal type of scenario, Chief.
Switzerland, decent squad. I know everyone was, for me, look, I've never only watched one game. I've mentioned him with where Xhaka was playing. It's a, if I look at it, it's a team, it's one thing I'm going to watch this tournament is Xhaka playing at, in Switzerland. Because I heavily criticize him. And what he does with our team, in our team.
He's your captain for Switzerland, bro.
Yeah, but it's a different
game. He tends to play very well for Switzerland, if you ask me, man.
That's what I hear. And like I said, the last game they played against Germany, people are going crazy, blah, blah, blah. I came back to Arsenal. We finished 10th, 9th, I don't know. But
somewhere there.
if I can just interrupt you, I think the admin was trying to go, look, we know your opinions on Xhaka. Let's see what you think about Xhaka when he's playing for his national team. So when he stays at Arsenal, you're all right. You're not too upset about it. I think that's what the thought process was behind that.
To give him another season.
No.
Give him another contract. Give him the armband.
No.
Look, even Pums is saying. He's saying Xhaka's class for Switzerland there.
Yeah, but right, I think looking at the team as a whole, I think Switzerland do have a chance to also hold their own in their group as well.
Don't forget Shaqiri there.
Yes. We've got the widest man in the world. Don't know how he goes through doors forward. 100% that guy enters doors sideways all the time. Yes, but yeah, they've also got him as well. But the Switzerland team,
go around the building, boy.
It will cause problems for the in this Euro. And I think my last team, Netherlands, a team which I did want, but again, it might actually have come a year late for them as well. They were on form coming into the qualifiers last year. They were hot. I think even the year before that.
And they had a different coach that is actually reliable.
Yes.
Not this coach, because De Boer, hey man, I'm not sure about Ronald De Boer, bro. Hey.
Yeah. And De Boer, I think he's lost. Now he's won 3 out of his last 5 games, and people are asking questions about him. I think if you look at Netherlands, I mean up front they've got the team up front in the middle. You've got your Frankie De Jong at the back. You've got your De Ligt. Maybe not experienced, but definitely quality players. I mean, all around that team. People are wondering. I don't think Van Dijk. Look, Van Dijk. Yes, he's a loss. Let's say put it like that. But I think they still have players to go on without him there. I think it's a good decision that he made to not put himself forward for the Euros. It must have been a tough one for him, but definitely the best. I think for himself, it's the best decision. But again, people, the question, look, I mean, last year people would have said, you know, Netherlands stands a good chance. I still think they sort of stand a chance, but definitely not as great as they had last year. Last year would have been, I would have probably put my money on Netherlands, but not this year. I don't think I'll do that. That's the honest truth.
But their group's quite kind to them. I mean, Austria, North Macedonia, and Ukraine. I suppose that's why, Ukraine. Netherlands, you know, if Van Dijk was there, then there would have been a party. Now that they're not, they're probably going to go out round 16, according to him. But.
Yeah.
And Donny.
Oh, yeah, and Donny van de Beek. Oh, shame, yeah. He's also one that.
And he's a big player there for Netherlands.
There's also a guy the city was watching. What's it, Daniel Marlin. Apparently he's a winger. He's a winger or striker for the Dutch team. I didn't actually see his position, but they said this one player that we should watch out for. Yeah. Goal scorer is what they call him.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Matt's not here today because his wife's gone for backup. So he's actually attending to that scenario. But I want to talk about the teams that he's got. And you guys can all feel free to chip in, seeing as one of the teams is being supported by Nick as well. We've got his first team being Spain. I mean, they're normally a big hitters at tournaments. His second team is Austria. His third team is
Hungary. Do you guys know
Hungary.
What's happening with Spain and the COVID scenarios?
So they've brought in about 17 under 21 or something, and they're gonna have they're having a parallel bubble alongside the main team, and in case there's if there's more positive cases, then I guess that the under 21s will take over and play.
Sure. I was watching a bit of that game with the under 21s. Those boys can actually jam, eh? They really, really do look up for it, if anything. They look very fit, very ready. They look well coached and well drilled already.
Yeah, so I think, they got out in the semifinals of the under 21 championships. So I think,
I think they're all going to get their vaccinations now, from what I heard.
Oh, is it okay?
They're going to get their vaccinations before the tournament starts.
Yeah, because Sergio Busquets got tested positive. So I think that's what I think they were scared of that.
Yeah.
Correct. Mm.
Yeah, maybe they'll bring in Ramos.
What do you guys think of that squad? Do you think they have a chance of actually competing for the Euros? I know if it was two tournaments ago, it would be very appealing to say, Spain have a really good chance. But I don't know if they're still there at that level of performance, if they look as exciting or have a strong chance to say they're going to go for the whole thing.
Oh, quarterfinals, definitely. I think their coach is a good coach. So that's the first thing that helps. You know what I mean? I think that helps the team. But I think, man, I think you still need to pick Ramos for leadership, man. I don't know why they didn't pick him. I know that he's not 100% fit, and he's only played one game since March, it was whatever, but I think you still need to pick him. Now you're picking other guys, you know what I mean? Cool, but you just need to have Ramos's experience in the team, man. And then now Busquets has got COVID. So where's the experience? You know what I mean? You know, where's the experience coming from? I don't know where the experience comes from. Who's captain? I think Koke is captain in the center mid, but you still need that experience from Ramos, definitely, man.
It's like asking the question, would you leave a Ramos at home and take Harry Maguire, or would you take Ramos? You know?
Ramos, bro. You go with Ramos, bro. You go with Ramos.
Nick, Harry Maguire can't even help Man United win the Europa. What do you take the man there for?
Nico Pacheco there is our COVID officer here, giving us the stats. So Diego Llorente and Busquets, that's two Spanish players positive. Okay, Kulusevski is Kulusevski come from? Sweden. He's tested positive. So you see, there's a lot of players that tested positive, guys. Which is
it's going to be interesting now that they've done it the way they've done it, considering they're going to be traveling. So that's going to be, I think he's got a valid point in terms of, so these are the current players that are going to miss the tournament, but it's going to be interesting in seeing how many players will miss the tournament moving forward. I know Nick's got his whole Varsity Cup thing moving forward, and they're going to be playing in a bubble. That probably would have been more appropriate for something like this. But they've not chosen to do that. But let's talk about the second, or should I say the third team that Matt has, and that's England. And gentlemen, I know there's a lot to be said about England. That is, the Premier League is what we follow, so we know these players pretty well. We know, obviously, Matt's supporting them. Nick's also supporting them on the side. What are our thoughts there surrounding England?
I think personally that their biggest downfall is their own media. Every single tournament they go into a tournament, The fans start singing, "It's coming home." And don't get me wrong, I love it as well. You know, there's a sense of pride in that when they actually do sing that song and it eventually happens. You know, it will mean the most for the nation.
They've been singing it since 1968. I'm saying the tournament after they won. So I'm saying and the tournament after they started saying it's coming home. And
yeah, that's true. What I can say is, if you look at most of the squads, and that's why the Euros, I think, is always the biggest opportunity. They overachieved at the World Cup, coming to a semi-final. You know, if they found themselves in a final, it would have been an incredible achievement. But, you know, you go to a Euro tournament where there's quite a few teams in a transition period. You've got maybe a France that, you know, how many teams go on to win a World Cup and then a Euro? I think Spain did it, but not many teams actually go on and win back-to-back titles. So if you look at it from that aspect, maybe you don't say France win it. You see Spain, who's potentially a completely different squad to what we used to. You've got a Belgium who has always had a strong squad, but they've never really delivered in the last sort of three tournaments. You have a Netherlands that's in a transition period. You're in a Portugal, which is a wild card that can win or they can be absolutely horrendous. And I think Italy's in the same bracket. So I think for a young England team...
Sorry to interrupt you there. They're not in the same bracket. I think Liverpool are just above. But yeah, sure, continue.
He said Liverpool. He said Liverpool, guys. He said Liverpool.
No, what are you talking about?
Great. No, man. Great.
Liverpool.
I see them as one. I see them as one. I see them as one.
Liverpool's playing in the Euros, gentlemen.
Liverpool's playing in the Euros, guys.
Liverpool is everywhere, Baba.
Liverpool don't see themselves as part of England. That's what they like, Barcelona and Spain, guys. Come on.
I think I'm missing this. Guys, I honestly missed something. But anyway, so what I'm saying to you is, if there's an opportunity...
This man doesn't know any other team besides Liverpool. Let's ask him for which top four teams he picked for the Euros. It's Liverpool.
Liverpool reserves.
Yeah.
But I think from that perspective, I think if you look at England's team, the average age is 24, 25. You know, they've got a great opportunity to go and have a great tournament, get to a semi-final, maybe even a final. You know, if they continue winning, I think they play all their games at Wembley, which is incredible for them. Both semi-finals and finals are going to be at Wembley. So, you know, if they just keep winning, they'll find themselves playing a home tournament, essentially. But the biggest downfall is the pressure that the media put on them. And as soon as something goes wrong, there's an inquest as to why it went wrong. You know, the first thing that's probably going to come out if Foden has a bad performance in his first game is, why did he dye his hair? Who does he think he is? He's not Paul Gascoigne. So those are the sorts of things. No, but those are the stupid sort of antics that come out of the English media, which tend to be the downfall of the team. But I think if you look at their squad, man for man, talent for talent, they're just as good as a lot of teams in this tournament.
Like a Belgium. It's like a 100%. Belgium.
I think that squad depth that they've got now is the best that we've seen from an English pool in a long time. You know, like, England have always been known as a team that's supposed to compete. But when you look for it man for man, sometimes there were gaps in terms of where you see the depth coming, where you see the game winners coming. And it feels as if they've probably got it right. Although this squad selection created a few like raised eyebrows to see so many right backs in the same team. But yeah, hopefully we can see Southgate get it right, because the players and the talent that he's working with is the best that we've seen, in my view, from England in the past 10 years, to be honest. Like, it's young, it's dynamic, the players are really good footballers, and they can follow instructions very well. So it's going to be tough to see how they do and perform this tournament. Yeah.
I think I had a discussion with someone the other day. I would have liked to have seen another striker be added instead of Ben White. I just think, you know, if you're relying on, you've got two strikers there. You've got Kane and Calvert-Lewin. But if you're going to rely on Rashford being that third choice, if shit does hit the fan for them, if there's two injuries, for example, a red card or something like that, I don't think that's going to be, I would have personally like to have seen another striker be
Watkins,
added there.
Watkins,
or for me, if you look at complete stats, Bamford should have been looked at. They should have.
I thought you were going to say Callum Wilson.
Listen, Callum Wilson is on par. Callum Wilson is just behind Watkins, but he's got more goals than Rashford, more assists than Rashford. So if you're looking at him as your backup striker, I wouldn't say so, but I think he's gone with, he pretty much came out and said the team he's picked are the best players that can play for England. Not necessarily a balanced squad, but a team where he feels the players are the best players that England can produce in whatever position it is. I personally think they do lack in the goalkeeping department, which is a concern. I don't think Pickford's going to win them a Euro. But, you know, anything can really happen. And I was disappointed with Henderson's performance the other day. Sorry, Claudio. I thought he was awful. And then he steps up and takes that penalty.
That was poor hit.
And, yeah, I think Southgate wasn't too happy about that. I think Roy Keane had something to say. What did he say? What is his purpose? I think they've got everything but a goalkeeper, which is unfortunate. But yeah, it will be exciting.
Has never really had a good goalkeeper, have they?
I think David Seaman was probably their last sort of strong candidate.
Yeah, and even he was, like, he had his moments where he was suspect. You know, I don't know if it was his ponytail that got in his way or something, but even he had his moments. So I think that's something.
Yeah, that was once or twice, but not.
Yeah, but
more than the Arsenal man defending him. Sorry, my bad.
But I mean, like, if you look at Germany with Neuer, you feel safe. Like, that's
confident, yeah.
He's so confident. I mean, you go to Belgium, you feel safe and confident. So it is that might just be a downfall, but you never know. It's seven games. You win the tournament. You know, you just have to do well out of, and ask Claudio. You don't even have to win that many games to actually lift the trophy. How many games did you win? I think you won one game in 90 minutes.
You can draw
one
six.
didn't win. Yeah, the rest of that didn't win any of them in 90 minutes. You know, you're laughing. And we might as well move on to the teams I got. We might as well. Because obviously the first...
The fourth one.
Hungary.
Okay, Hungary.
Hungary.
Hungary have two former Liverpool players in that squad. The two goalkeepers, the one playing for Leipzig, Gulacsi, the goalkeeper, and then the other one, Bogdan, that was on the Liverpool's books for like 10 years and never did anything. So those are the two Hungary players. But also, let's not forget what Hungary did at the last Euros. They nearly caught an upset, not Portugal. Yeah, so I mean, Hungary can't, and they're one of the host cities. So who knows? And it's interesting they are in the group of death with, along with France, along with Portugal and Germany. And what's interesting about this is that they've got zero expectation of them getting anything. So if they do manage to go out there and enjoy it and say they get a big result in their first fixture, all of a sudden the other teams start, that pressure is already higher and it's already just ramps it up. So, you know, there's a possibility for Hungary to do something. I know you're saying it's not going to happen, Wonga, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
I'm looking at Hungary here, and they got a good record, but the teams they win against, Cyprus, Andorra, San Marino, then come Russia, hammer. Come Wales, hammered. Uruguay, hammered. Croatia, hammered. Slovakia, hammered. Montenegro, hammered. Nah, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. I think they could really are in the fourth spot.
that's a tough group. Okay, Claudio, you can go now. We can hear what you want to say. Yes.
All right. You've got
Portugal.
Yes, Portugal. But should I start with Portugal or should I start with the other one?
Start with the other one.
No, but there's a reason I was... there was a train of thought. You guys, someone had said something about Portugal, and I was saying, anyway.
No, that you guys had six draws when you won the Euros.
Yes. Okay, on that point. Portugal before that, prior to that, had always had really, really good teams. Really, the golden generation, etc. But when they went to tournaments, they just couldn't get it across the line. They just couldn't get their shit together, and that's the bottom line. That tournament, they had the old man come in. He's still there now in charge. He came in. He was like, you know what? We're just not going to lose. They're similar to Tux, Nick. You know Tux, Mosso, same thing. You know, you don't concede goals. You can keep going to the tournament. And that's what they did, and they landed up getting something. As long as you've got a man up front, you can bag goals. And that's where Poland is an interesting one. And you're looking at other guys. As long as there's a man up front, you can stick one away, and you keep a clean sheet, you're always in for a shot. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Form can go out the window as long as you come together in those moments, right? But I'm going to start
how Uruguay have been successful in international football is because they've always had Diego Forlan, Cavani, and Suarez. And if you shut the door at the back, you've got world-class strikers up front. So, yeah, I think that does help.
Yeah, and if we're looking at Portugal now, we don't just have Ronaldo. We've also got Jota who's playing. We've got Felix who's, you know, he's in and around. We've
what
got
team Bruno does Fernandez Jota play for?
Plays for Liverpool, bro. What's wrong?
Oh, okay. No, it's just always your reference as a Liverpool player.
Always.
I wish we had more.
After Portugal's best player, the first person you mentioned after the best player in Portugal is Jota. Yeah. Wow.
He could have went
and said Bruno Fernandes. But
the Man City players. You know what? I actually did. You know, it shocks me. I mentioned Fernandes before the City players. But yeah, we've also got Rui Diaz. We've got Cancelo. We've got little man. Bernardo. We've got the players there. And that's exciting for me. We also got squad depth, which in the first time in a long time we haven't had. The one worrying place for Liverpool. Oh, for Liverpool. I said again. For Portugal. So come on. Yeah, we've got Liverpool.
None of us have said, Chelsea will do it. Oh, no, Man United, Newcastle. You're the only person who said Liverpool.
That's ingrained in me, guys. And also, you threw it in there when I was talking about Jota. But anyway, the worrying spot for Portugal is the fact that we've got, it's always our goalkeeper. I mean, the fact that Rui Patricio is still the number one means, you know, we're struggling in that area, and it's no different to England. So we'll see what happens when it comes to keeping clean sheets. The other teams I have is I have Turkey. I know someone, I think Ajun was saying some good things about Turkey. Now, Turkey is an interesting one. All I know about Turkey is we've got the center back, proper dark horse, Yonku. We've got the man, Ozan Kabak, that was at Liverpool. He's there. And then the issue for me is the man who leads the line. Tusan, I think. And he's still there, but he's not an outside man.
No, but what about the little striker, Yilmaz?
But I see Tucson's the one that starts, or am I stand corrected?
I don't know. I'm just saying that the guy, he just had a good season with Lil. There's an old... 34 years old.
There's an old guy that they trust. I don't know what his
name is. Yilmaz is dangerous.
So Tucson's 50 and Yilmaz is 35 years old.
So can I give you a bit of insight on Turkey?
That's all that matters.
Please.
Yes, you may.
I'll give you some insight on Turkey. So a couple of weeks ago, you guys all remember Muhsin Ertegral?
Yes.
Former Kaiser Chiefs coach. So he had a chat with us. We had like a sort of workshop with him. And he actually works for the Turkish FA. So he works directly with the head coach of the national team. His job is to help him select the best squad for tournaments. And his first tournament was the Euros. So he just gave us insight in how they were operating. And their sort of mandate is to get back to the glory days of 2002 when they found themselves in a semi-final of the World Cup. They've got some cool methods in how they operate. I think they've also previously had a bigger pool of players to select from, where they've now sort of filtered it down to a select group that they've worked with now for 2 years. And their results have been decent. They've got a lot of people working around Europe, monitoring the players at the clubs. The players, when they come into camp, know exactly what they're about to do at training sessions, video analysis, what's expected in terms of the style and philosophy of what Turkey set to play at Euros. And it's quite cool to have someone who's actually close to home. You know, he's got a house here in Cape Town, travels back and forth from Istanbul to his home here in Cape Town, and he's going to the Euros with Turkey.
Is there a way for them in future to try and make sure they don't lose your Gundogans and your Ozils?
So that was a question someone had asked. He said it's a travesty in the last 10 years that they've lost. He said there's names that you speak about, but there's other names that we don't even know about that are applying their trade in the lower leagues of German football. Where they also go to Holland, I think, a lot of the Turkish players. I think their sort of mandate has been to try and fix the youth system in terms of chatting to the parents and the players and the clubs of those young Turkish players and try and get them into a system where they sort of keep them because... their heads get turned when a Borussia Dortmund or a Bayern Munich come in for them.
What's happening here, guys?
Yo, Arman, you guys are going to charge you.
Arman, how are
you? Dia, let them be, man. They're not about team now.
Dia, come on, Dia.
Class is boring in anyway. Class is boring.
Boring. Join us. We're talking about the match in the world.
Don't expose these guys. Don't expose Ahmad and Arjun. What class is this, by the way? What class are you skipping, guys? What class are you skipping, you fancy gents? Tell us, let us know.
Thank you for joining us, Dia. Thank you for joining us, Dia. The next one in the crew. Hey, let's skip those classes.
Stop it.
That's brilliant.
No, I just think. Yeah,
all of a sudden, we've lost three viewers. They go, Arjun. Arjun and Aman, tell me you guys are still here, man. Anyway.
It's just going to be interesting to see what Turkey are going to do. Just seeing what was discussed from someone who's on the ground working with the head coach.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to watch.
I'll tell you another thing quickly. They had a meeting with UEFA. He actually went to the meeting, Mushin, about the fact that they have to travel to Baku in one of their games, where two other teams in their group don't have to travel. I think it's like a 6-hour journey. When he's like, why can't we just play in Istanbul or play somewhere like closer? But obviously Baku got the hosting rights. So I think they've got a game against Wales in Baku or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
That's far, man. Yeah. I mean, imagine you're flying from one side of Europe to Asia, basically.
Yeah. So anyway, but Claudio, you carry on. Who else is?
I just want to say I'm glad Diaz got a snitch. Thank you. They don't like snitches around here.
Advanced calculus and aeronautical engineering. Yeah, no, these guys, they don't need class, man. If they're doing heavy stuff like that, they don't need class. They really know what's going on.
Yeah, they know exactly
what's going on. They're so clever, but they heavy support Man United.
It was going quiet there. Anyway, right, gents.
So you don't see me. You don't see me. I'm also a clever man, and I support Man United. Come on.
Who's your last two teams here, Claudio?
Finland. I got Finland, and I'm pretty excited about having Finland. My reference point, again, Liverpool reference point, Sami Hyypiä is a legend there for Finland. But when I was in Norway, and I was playing for played for the side HamKam, I was playing with a guy there, and his name was Pekka. And Pekka actually played in the Bundesliga for Werder Bremen, and he was like towards the end of the latter stages of his career, and I managed to play with him a little bit. And now he's doing all sorts of TV presenting for Finland. So I'm pretty excited about that. The other thing I'm excited about is the man leading the line for Finland, guys. Can you guess who it is?
I think I know who it is.
Pookie's leading the line. There's another guy called Glenn Kamara. He's probably a Senegalese lad running in there, running around there for Finland. But, yeah, look, to be perfectly frank, I don't know much about Finland, and that's why I'm pretty excited. So come the following fixtures, I'm going to learn a lot about these guys, and I'll have more to report back on.
Your last one has to be Sweden, eh?
Yes, and the last one is Sweden. And some names, it's all the Larsons and the Olsons and all those sort of guys that are running around there for Sweden. We know poor Zlatan's
out,
the ball. He's hey. Out, yeah. The man's 39, still getting a call back after a time.
I normally travel to Sweden once a year. It's a great part of the world there, to be honest with you. I always have a soft spot for Sweden. And just an interesting stat or fact. Sweden hosted the 1992 Euros. And the Euro format then was only 8 teams. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. Yeah, and Scotland were at that Euros, by the way. They made it to that tournament.
Because you guys were big in the 90s, guys. Scotland was a big country in the 90s.
And they actually, the point system then was 2 points for a win and 1 point for a draw. So they scrapped that after that tournament, and then 1996 was Euro 96 in England, where they had 16 teams. So
who won the 92 one?
Denmark.
Denmark won.
I think Denmark played against the Netherlands in the final, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with the Lodger brothers. And my dad went to Denmark in 95, and only thing he could say after coming back from Denmark was talk about road trip and the way he loves them. My dad used to love Denmark.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's
talk about this love hate relationship between Arjun and Brandia.
What's
happening, bro? What the
heck? All right, guys. I think just to pretty much wrap this up.
What team does Dia support in the Premier League, if any?
Yeah, Dia, please.
Yeah, given that you're here now, please.
Don't bug the last
Jeepers, I'll do it now, man. You guys are recruiting also.
I love it.
To join our Discord channel. Come on, the link's there. You guys know. Anyway, PSU Econ, is that your university name or something? Yeah, well, go large. Yes,
sure.
I'm loving the shout-out. Dia's asking what the Premier League is. This is super interesting. This is an interesting... Dia, you're going to learn a lot on the show.
I want to be controversial. Dia, are you related to Virat Kohli by any chance?
That is controversial.
That is quite controversial, bro. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think just remove him from this chat, bro.
Get him out of here. No. All right, guys. Yes, so where were we? So we've all revealed our sides. All right, I think it's about that time where we focus on pretty much based on the group analysis and what we think is going to happen just from the groups. Where do you guys stand with your teams?
Yeah, my team's winning my group. Italy's winning their group. They're playing at the Stadio Olimpico tomorrow against Turkey. First game. It's going to be a tough one. I'm expecting that game could be a draw. But the other games, Italy will win. I suspect Italy will get 7 points from the group, either 7 or 9.
Okay. 7 or 9. But Wales, Turkey, and Switzerland in there. It's actually not as cut and dry as I think you think it is, Celo.
No, it's not. It's not at all. That's why I say 7 points, though.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Gareth Bale, bro. You know Gareth Bale is.
Hey.
You know Gareth Bale was, you guys saw it on the power rankings. He was number one, if I'm not mistaken, in Europe. I think they take your performance. I don't know what, but it's obviously your performances, and obviously they look at the games, the number of games you've played. But Gareth Bale finished on top. So yeah, he's going to be a problem there. And I think Italy will see that.
Yeah, but I still do think out of that group, Italy and Turkey have a stronger chance than Wales. Wales are going to like directly compete with Switzerland to get out of that group, in my personal opinion. That striking force at Wales is pretty good, but I don't know, man. Like, yes, I look at James and I'm thinking, man, oh, I can't see 3 or 4 goals coming from him in the group stages where they'll need those type of goals, you know. A Bale, yes, can shine for the country very, very well, but I just don't see it happening for Wales at this type of level because there'll be teams of Italy and Turkey's nature.
Yeah. Okay. I think what's also interesting to note, like Celo had said earlier, the best third place teams are going to go through. So only eight teams are going to... So you actually have to look here, I mean, who's the top 16 out of the 24? And that's sort of going to be... And if you look at it on paper... it's not always like that, as we know. It's quite clear who probably won't make it.
True. Because if you remember the last tournament, which was the first time they did it, that 2016 one, if I remember correctly, Wales was one of the best number threes, I think. If I remember correctly. I think they qualified by being the best number three, and that's how they got to the semifinals. So it will be that best number three, I think, that surprises us. But otherwise, you are right.
Yeah. In that case, then two best number threes got to a semi final because Portugal also did.
Oh, yes, you are right. Yeah.
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 Well, on that note, guys, then let's talk about the Group B predictions. Obviously, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, and Russia. Wonga, your team. Obviously, Selo's team. One of my teams. And then Denmark as well.
I'm with Denmark.
Nick.
Belgium, I say Belgium number one, Russia two. Hey, I don't know about that third and fourth.
You're saying Russia ahead of Denmark?
Denmark are strong.
Look, no, you're right. But I think I think number one is taken for sure. Let's say that. Number one is 100% taken by Belgium. Just the way they've been playing. They definitely take that one.
Yeah,
the other three spots. Go, Musa.
Sorry, I think it's better for Belgium to be in a group of this nature because in the past, you know, we've always had, well, not always, but in the past 4 years, we've had pretty high expectations of Belgium and the work they've done to develop this squad once they get to a tournament, you know, to impress. And sometimes it feels like if they do compete against a big team, they don't really... have that BMT, if I could say that correctly, where they actually go out and compete against the top eight teams and look like they're a better outfit than the top eight teams in Europe.
Sorry, Mosso, we're just reading Dia saying, give him a second, he's just being called for questions.
Imagine, Gaz, you watch it go loud and then they ask you, hey, man, what the hell's your company? Like,
what's important to note here also is Denmark are also one of the hosts. Copenhagen is one of the hosts, so they've got a lot of their games at home. So, I mean, Russia and Denmark here are going to be fighting for second and third. But Belgium are not hosting, which is interesting. So Belgium are going to have to go to Russia and Copenhagen. So I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion that's already 3 points. You know, you might find that they drop points somewhere along the line. I think this home ground advantage is going to be very good for these teams.
It's huge.
Yeah. But, you know, if you look at it on paper, you've got... a Belgian team will win. I think it will be Denmark second, and I think Russia will get through via the best third place teams, because when you have a team of Finland's nature, with all due respect, Claudio, that's where if there's a weaker team in the group, that's where the third place teams come alive and they get enough points and goals to eventually go through.
Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true. Dia, I think you can take a guess. Listen to our accents and let's see if you type in the comments, you let us know where you think we are from. And we'll tell you if you're getting warmer or colder. I think that's something fun we can do here. Guys, next group we're going to talk about is Group D, the predictions. And that is a decent one. Oh, sorry, I've skipped one. Group C. Wow, and that is a nice one for Netherlands. We've got Austria, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Ukraine. So Netherlands, despite the fact that they got one of the De Boer brothers there coaching them, I think that's a fair shot for them in this group.
Claudio answered you.
Let's see what
we're not from Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Try again.
Hit the nail on the head. I think the South African accent does give it away somehow.
Yeah.
Whatever the accent is.
I think. Yeah, go for it, Wonga. Sorry, man.
I didn't have much to say, but I think obviously Netherlands goes on top. North Macedonia, you know them. How did they even get there? Gee whiz. Every time I look at North Macedonia, they get pummeled.
They qualified through the Nations League. That was the value of the Nations League, where they had the different A, B, C, and D. And if you were the best out of the worst, you got a place in Euros. That's how Hungary got in as well. And that's how Scotland got in as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think obviously everyone knows. I think maybe Austria second and Ukraine third. That's how I predict that one to finish. But yeah.
I think that's a fair shot. Guys, also, can I just say that we've got some really... I mean, Settle's already touched on how smart the people listening to us are. But wow. We've got these people studying at Stanford, yeah?
I went to Stanford for a visit. My word. Like, I felt stupid going inside there. It was just driving through the town. It's just so many clever people.
Nick, you can't be that stupid if we've got Stanford people watching us here.
Come on.
This is a lecture there for Arjun, boy. He's listening to us. So he should be there at Stanford.
Interesting football stat. LA Galaxy and San Jose Earthquakes, it's a derby in the MLS. They play their league game home and away every season at Stanford's home ground. Stanford's University Football Stadium. It's very cool. That's that big. It's huge. I think it's like 60,000, 65,000. Massive.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool.
I have a picture outside.
American sports have been like going back and watching. Like the NBA is full. The NASCAR is full and stuff. So, yeah. But I guess in America, it's full to capacity again, which is pretty cool. I wish, obviously, we could be out and about watching sports again.
Jeez. Yeah, man. Guys, also, can you see what Nick was doing here? He's literally giving us all the stats, boy. Like, all the players that are going to be missing this tournament. good work,
man. Guys, what if it's me? Just using his logins.
I'll be impressed, too.
It's not me.
Why are you trying to claim things? All right, guys. Group D. This is the one for Musamos, okay? We've got Croatia, Czech Republic, England, and obviously, Nick, as well, Scotland.
Yeah.
It's an interesting shot, yeah.
Mm. I think England should come out of this group quite comfortably. They'll probably get their 3 points against Scotland and Czech Republic and fight for a good result against Croatia, which they have the capacity to do, given, you know, Croatia in this rebuilding phase of theirs. But I do think we'd see in England come out top of the pops, Croatia come out second, and Scotland coming out third, ahead of Czech Republic in that one.
Yeah, I think for me, I think England, I think the two key games are obviously the first two. I think if they get through Croatia, it will be a big relief because I honestly think Scotland's going to be, it's not going to be a foregone conclusion. I think there's going to be a lot of pride at stake for both teams. England, Scotland are going to be playing with nothing to lose. You know, if they can spoil the party for their neighbors down south, that will be like winning the Euros for them. So I think they need to win their first game against Croatia, but I do see the group probably ending first, second, and third, as you had mentioned. Also, but I would like to see Scotland get a result against Czech Republic and potentially a draw somewhere else to give them a chance to at least get through to the last 16.
All right. Guys, valid points. I'm just really impressed here because Dio is saying, Arjun answered the question perfectly. He pretends to be dumb. And he comes back saying, boys, I'm back. Fuck science, man. Boring as fuck.
What a legend!
Guys, this is crazy, guys. Arjun is
and then it's
just
like... It's like, Arjun, keep your way.
Legend!
Yo, I'm assuming they're doing online school, eh? Online university.
I guess
making his way there.
Yeah, I guess the ones who aren't there yet, I guess they're doing online for now, which is pretty cool, man. I think these international conglomerates is spicing up our show.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Super, super cool, guys. Okay, now we on to the Group E: Poland, Slovakia, Spain, and of course my Sweden. So, what do we think here?
I can see Spain going out of the group stages, yeah.
I think this isn't easy.
I feel you there, Nick. Yo, I don't see it as impossible for them to go back home or however you call it, because they're playing everywhere now.
I think my question to you is, if you're Sweden or Poland in this group, do you fear Spain, the current Spanish team?
You don't.
No, you don't fear them.
Especially with all these changes that are happening right now, it's not as
and
scary.
Then if you're Slovakia, who's there just to make up the numbers, you would be like, well, it's a free hit. Maybe we can even finish third and get out that way. So I think that's a very tight group. I wouldn't like to call predictions on that.
That's true.
But I think Poland, decent. I think you spoke about it, Wonga. Poland, decent shots. As long as they got Lewandowski, they've got goals. Yeah. I think Sweden... Yeah, it's between Sweden and Slovakia wild cards. And like you said, Spain could choke, but I think Poland, for me, a different shoe and make it through to the next round.
Guys, for Spain to go through, guys, they should not start Morata. Yarra, man. They played, there's a game where they played. Morata was clear on goal. One of the keeper shoots, hits the post. Like, I think it was against Portugal, man. I was like, no, man. Guys, Spain need to move on from him and start Moreno. Or someone else.
True.
But,
I agree.
Morata's not the guy, guys.
I also don't think Morata's the
guy. No. And Pumani's saying, you know, Spain is unknown. But also, you know, shout out, Arjun. You are recruiting slowly. I know we talk a lot to you here on the show. But like he says, guys, studying equals watching goal launch because he loves us. So shout out to that. And we love you too, man.
Stop it!
Aman, don't worry. We're also backing your boys, Brentford, coming back to the Premier League.
Yes,
okay, now, guys, Group F, the group of death.
Group of death.
What do we think is going to happen here? This can go anyway. I know, Pum, give us your opinion. Nico, let's hear this. Hungary's dead in the water.
Dead. Hungary died. That's all.
Yeah, and Hungary's best player is even.
Did they die hungry?
Only if they don't score a goal, maybe.
I think this group is going to be very tight, guys. I think the big teams will take points off each other, so there won't be any team in this group, I feel, that will come out with 9 points. If that team comes out with 9 points, that team, we can just give them the Euro tournament already. But I feel that they'll get points off each other. So it will either be a draw or a loss against the team and all that type of stuff. So I think it's going to be a tight group. But I think that, France will top the group, and then Germany and Portugal will fight for second.
I think if you look at the three, I think they should all get through anyway. If you look at how it is. Because they just need to all make sure that they do a job on Hungary.
But then you are sitting there in the hungry camp thinking, everyone's written us off. We've got zero to lose. Let's go. Let's get a draw against one or two of them, and then they end up going out anyway.
Let's be the number three, and someone else gets knocked out.
Yeah, maybe Portugal this time. I mean, Liverpool. I mean, sorry, I don't know which one.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Lamenting.
Guys, Nick was saying Hungary is going to finish number one. He's saying Nick with number one. He's saying Hungary number one, Germany number two, France number three, and Liverpool number four.
Guys, no one said Greece would win Euro 2004. No one said it.
With corners.
Greece came out of nowhere, and Greece has been nowhere since that final. So maybe Nico knows something. Maybe Nico knows something.
What's the odds? What's the odds of Hungary winning, guys? Maybe we'll put some reds or something, and maybe I won 2,000, you know?
Let's check the odds quickly.
Guys, these things, you just put 20 Rand, you forget about it. Next thing you know, you got 2,000 Rand for 20 Rand.
You know what, also, Selo, you're saying this as a financial guy.
Imagine the day Hungary left Euros.
But guys, Selo's saying this as the financial guy. Watch someone go do that, and then we all think he's taking the piss, and someone actually goes and wins his money. Let's check the odds here.
It's probably 100 to 1.
I don't even think North Macedonia's odds will be available, to be honest with you. You laugh, but I'm being serious.
Nah, man, people like taking money. Anyway, yeah, here we got Pumalani. Pumalani! Yes, Pums! Portugal to top the group. The team is so hot. I like the spice, guys. Sorry, I've got to bring that.
See what Aman is saying? Aman is right, guys. Just worth a fiver. Just small money. Nothing that you... Something that you buy, I don't know, whatever you buy that you consume on a daily, and then just put that money there and then just forget about it. If they get out the first round, it's something that you just always spend on a daily.
Just miss lunch tomorrow and then put that money on there.
Exactly, easily. or that beer that you buy tomorrow, buying tomorrow.
Most likely. Don't buy
six beers, buy four.
that's not possible with Mosa.
not for Hungary.
Right, what's your word?
No, I know you guys are thinking the odds may be favorable for if you do take a massive bet against all the other teams, but I really don't think there's a chance that Hungary will be able to pull off an upset by winning the entire thing. Maybe the best they can do is get a draw against one of these three teams. Sure. But to push it the whole way, not a chance, gentlemen. It's even for there's no chance. And I'm actually concerned now, looking at this group, I'm actually concerned that this group will not have a strong number three. Given you'll probably find the top three here, either collecting 1 point against the others and then winning one of their games against Hungary. And that might then rule out two of them already allow two of them to qualify, which would make it tough for the top three.
Yeah, you're right. So one of them might not get in because of that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's quite scary actually looking at that. But I'm glad France will get in, so that's fine.
Pumlani doesn't agree with you. He says you're going out.
I said France and Portugal to go to Germany.
Pumlani, come on!
Be number three.
All right, guys. That pretty much concludes the show for today. Final thoughts before we try and get Armand to recruit his other friends there in our Super Brew League, as well as Pumlani and Nico and everyone else.
Come on, England. Come on, Scotland this weekend.
Let's go, La France. Sort out your beef there in the locker room and let's go, gents.
Forza Azzurri. Forza Azzurri.
Shaka in.
Wonga. Yes, I was about to say.
Shaka in. Shaka in.
We love Shaka. We love
Shaka. We love Shaka.
We love Shaka. Hey, guys. Is
they're back.
Back.
They're back.
Yeah.
What is happening? It's in the afternoon for Dia in the States then. She's behind in time. But our June is ahead of us in time. But yeah, it'll be.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to join our Super Brew League. Aman can show you the
Discord.
And the Discord channel.
And she needs to pick a team to support in the Premier League.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to that. Yeah. There's this other team in blue. Where's like a dark blue? It's called Chelsea. They've just won the Champions League. Really good team. Really, really great team. Go for it, Dia. You won't be disappointed.
Dia, the same team that Aman supports. The same team that Aman supports.
Hold on. How do you spell Super Brew, guys? Is it
BRU. Super and BRU.
But is it Super with an A? Was it like
Super is Super.
Oh, Super Brew. All right, there we go. The link will be in the description below. It's spelled like that, Super Brew. All right, and don't support Chelsea. You know what? If anything, dear, support the team in black and white because Nick is lonely.
Dia, you might not be with us next season.
Come on.
Dia,
you have to stay.
You'll have tears. Real tears.
Dia, Virat Kohli supports Manchester United. Yes, you see, I'll support Arsenal's team. Yes, Dia, you can come back.
Oh no, dear.
Why can't I speak comments?
I love it, dear. Yes.
We had so much faith in you, dear.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's perfect, dear.
Support Arsenal.
Guys, Arsenal is the winner.
Okay. I'm going to end the show. We can keep going.
Let's go.
I'll just ask Dia out, man. Come on. Give her a shout there.
Take out Dia on a date there.
Come on.
A Zoom date.
And on that note, we know how to end the show on Arjun's famous words. 3, 2, 1.
Stop it.